that the Lord has made. And by golly, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Woo. Nobody but Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Just to share a little bit.
My sister Ella said, just get up and say what you got to say. I can't help myself. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good. I did almost let go, church. But my pastor, thank God for pastor. He didn't give up on me. And so when he called me, he texted me and said, are you ready? Because, you know, I told him, I ain't doing it no more. I don't want to go and play. No. So I didn't even think about it. I texted him back and I said, it's either now or never. And he was like, praise the Lord. He didn't say it, but he texted it, and it was bold. So it was a shock, wasn't it? And so, as soon as I got up, God had dropped the scripture in my spirit as soon as I got up. Sometimes you feel like you're so far away from God, but my sisters and brothers, God is always there. He's always there. He's faithful. What he's called you to do, he will finish it and perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Believe that. And so, even this morning, I was excited until today. I was excited until the day. Then it was like, oh my goodness. I mean, I had everything ready, laid out. I mean, I was prepared like never before because I'm excited. Excited that God didn't let me go. That God didn't turn his back on me. That I know that I know that I know now that God has called me to do a certain thing. And I thank him and I praise him for just who he is, a faithful, mighty, gracious God. And so, this morning I came in. I said, let me come in early. Well, that was sort of a mistake because there was a whole lot of stuff going on around me. Why are we supposed to come into the sanctuary and, okay. And be quiet and pray now. But there was a whole lot going on around me. And I was sitting there singing, I will trust in you, O God, for you are the rock of the ages. And then I get this tap on my shoulder and I'm like, okay. It was from my brother David. And David spoke a word to me. And he encouraged me. Amen. Thank you, David. God used you to encourage me today. God is, he's mighty. He's awesome. He can use anybody. If he can use me, he could use anybody. Say that. If he can use me. So let us get on with our scripture today. Our text will be coming from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, then verses 12 through 16. And I will be reading from the New Living Translation. That's 2 Chronicles, Old Testament, right after the Kings, chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. In verses 12 through 16. I thank you for standing to reverence the word of God. Amen. Are we there?
Amen.
And this is what the word of God says. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Eden is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar. This was another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So the people from all towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Now down to verse 12. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. As all of the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeiel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem and Union. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." That ends the reading of God's holy word. My title is a little bit different from what you see in your bulletin, but not much. It's Encountering God Through Praise in the Midst of the Battle. Let us pray. Oh God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. God, I thank you and I praise you for just who you are, God Almighty, all by yourself. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable, God, in your sight, for you are my strength and my redeemer. Oh God, give me clarity of thought, give me clarity of speech, and oh God, give the people an ear to hear your word today. I pray, God, that your glory fills this place. I pray, God, that I will totally decrease. Fill me with your spirit, oh God, even right now. Oh God, my prayer is that your people be edified and that you be glorified in this house today. In the name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen. Encountering God through praise while in the midst of your battle. First, we had Reverend Omo preach about encountering God through grace. And God's grace is sufficient. And God's grace is amazing. And it's that grace that gives us what we don't deserve. Reverend Jackie talked about the history and the circle of life. And she showed us a little clip from The Lion King. And I'm going to go buy that Lion King. I've never seen it. She brought that in to show us how history is important and how our young people need to know that they're somebody and that they came from somebody and they are valuable through their history. Minister Les talked about God's unconditional love and how shame says, guilt says, you did something wrong, and shame says, I am something wrong, but the devil is a liar. You are somebody in Christ Jesus. So before we get to the introduction of our scripture, I want to ask you and pose a question this morning. What are you battling? What are you battling here and now today? Some of us have come in and can't even focus because our minds aren't focused on the right thing. What are you battling today? And don't say I'm blessed and highly favored and all is well, because Job, the Bible tells me that man born of woman, days are few and full of trouble. So we all got trouble, whether you want to admit it or not. Maybe you're battling denial. Maybe you're battling depression, your finances, maybe your gender identity. Maybe it's with your relationships, with your marriage. Maybe it's your health, mental or physical. You know that mental thing, you hear those voices in your head that don't tell you what's right, tell you you're crazy. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's a substance addiction like alcohol, tobacco, drugs, prescription, or street. Or are you battling behavior addiction like gambling, sex, food, the internet, cell phone, Facebook, video games? Or maybe you're a workaholic, or maybe you have a shopping addiction, Or maybe you're battling your call.
Amen.
Ah, that's a good one. You know, God has purposed us all with a plan, with a purpose. And we want to hear God. We think we hear God, but we run the other way. I can't tell you how many years I ran from God. And even when I said yes, because we think we have a choice, but we really don't. Either you want to stay miserable. That's how faithful God is. He will do what he has to do to get you to the point of where he's called you.
Amen.
So stop running from your call. And I'm talking to myself because I ran even after I accepted the call. And any day now, I might, no, I'm delivered. I'm healed. I'm set free. It's not good news, Pastor. But truly, whether you know it or not, it's spiritual warfare. And we go through spiritual warfare each and every day of our lives. And what it is, it's a battle for your heart and for your soul. John 10:10 says, Jesus said, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have that life more abundantly. And then there was a wise man that I know by the name of Reverend Robert W. Tedder said to me, there's fact and then there's truth. And the truth is truly in the word of God. John 16:33 says, Jesus says, in this life you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So my brothers and my sisters in Christ, whatever you're battling, you're a victor and not a victim. So Jesus said it. Why do we think we can't face anything and we can't go through stuff? Why do we think, oh, you get saved, life is going to be a bowl of cherries? Not. In fact, when you do accept the Lord into your heart as Lord and Savior, the battle's really on. Because Satan wants to destroy you. And he does all that he can. So you're a victor, not a victim or a casualty. So stop walking around with your head down.
Amen.
The Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, ye everlasting doors. For the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord God strong and mighty. The Lord God mighty in battle. So lift up your heads, O ye gates. You don't have to walk around with your head down. He is the lifter of your head and the lover of your soul. Praise God, even in the midst of the battle. So you say, I'm not feeling it. Mm-hmm. Or talk to the hand, I'm not feeling it. It's not about a feeling. It's about the truth. It's not about what you see or what you feel. Because if it was about what we see, we'd all be in trouble. We'd all be, woe is me, hanging our heads low. Oh, the enemy was on every side when Israel came out of Egypt. It's not about what you see, because the adversary will have us see all kind of things. A doctor gives you a bad report. You know, your husband is acting up, your wife is acting up. Your kids are acting up. Things just look bad. But it's not about what you see. And it's not about what you feel. But it's about what God has already said. And if you give me a few minutes, I'd like to give you some pointers on how to praise God even in the midst of your battle. Oh, I can tell you're not feeling it. You're not feeling it. Oh, I've been going through for so many years now on how long, oh God, how long will I have to battle this or go through this? And it keeps coming back and out one thing after another. When I get through this point, then something else coming. It's always going to be one thing after another. But God, for this we have Jesus, my sisters and brothers. It's always going to be one thing after another until Jesus comes back again, because we are in spiritual warfare. Stop fighting your sisters. Stop fighting your brothers. And know it's a spiritual warfare. It's not them. It's the spirit in them that is attacking. And you know what? That spirit gets all up in us too. We're not exempt. My brother Rodney said, I'm sick. Hey, brother, I was right with you. I'm sick. But God. Our scripture today, first we need to go back to chapter 18 and find out how we got to chapter 20. Because chapter 20 starts with after this. So we need to know what came before that to say after this. Okay, chapter 18. King Jehoshaphat made an alliance with King Ahab, you know, Jezebel's husband, Jezebel. Okay. He had his son marry Ahab's daughter. Some years later, King Jehoshaphat went to visit Ahab and finds himself joining forces with Ahab to battle and attack the people of Ramoth-Gilead. But before they went off to battle, King Jehoshaphat, who was truly a king after God, he was committed to God. First, he said, before they went off to battle, he said, first, let's find out what the Lord has to say. Do we do that? Do we stop and think, well, should I do this? Okay, Lord, let me seek you first. No, we just run off with it. And then we come back to God asking him to fix it and repent because we've gone ahead of God. It's just human nature. We don't even think it. We just react out of human nature. So he says, let's find out what the Lord says. So King Ahab summoned 400 prophets who all said, yeah, go ahead, go to battle. You know, sometimes the majority, most of the time, the majority is not right. You have the story about the 12 spies that went into the promised land and the 10 came back with the no, we can't. And the two said, oh, yes, we can. The majority is not always right. So King Jehoshaphat was feeling some kind of way. He said, is there another prophet of the Lord here? And needless to say, King Ahab said, yeah, there is Micaiah. And I hate him because he always brings bad news. Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. We want to do it our way. So Micaiah came. They called for him. And first, this is strange. First, Micaiah was sucked into the majority thing. He said, yeah, go ahead and go. Then King Ahab, I guess he thought, doesn't sound like him. So he said, you need to tell me the truth. And the truth was, he said, no, don't go into the battle. Where if you go into the battle, King Ahab will die. But what did they do? They did. They went into battle, and it came to pass that King Ahab did lose his life, and King Jehoshaphat barely escaped with his life. And in 19, Prophet Jehu met with him and tells him the Lord was very angry with Jehoshaphat for teaming up with Ahab. But because he had reformed Jerusalem, that he had taken out all the temples, all the worshipers, and he truly got judges to judge after God's own heart. So he made a reform of Jerusalem. And this comes to our next text. So to our today's text. So it was after these events in 18 and 19, him going to war, a messenger came to Jehoshaphat and said, the armies of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites are declaring war on Judah and King Jehoshaphat. Now, he had just escaped one war, and he's going through, and here we go again. But I think he learned a valuable lesson from the last time. He said that he was terrified. Was he terrified because he's naturally afraid? Or was he terrified in the fear of the Lord? What does he do now? Don't miss this. This is how you get your praise on. He seeks God through prayer and fasting. Prayer does change things. Yeah. Jehoshaphat was terrified and begged the Lord for guidance. And what is it? The king was able to humble himself and admit that he was terrified. A king didn't take that position. He held it down and he was strong. But King Jehoshaphat had a heart after God. And he knew from previous that he needed to really see God. Who do we run to when trouble arises? Do you get on the phone? Do you call a friend? Do you express it on Facebook? Ugh. Oh, I won't even go there. That's a whole. You know, we're losing our communication with each other in a way that, where was it that we sat down and talked to each other? Amen. And when we had something to say, we just told that person. You know, we don't want to even, it's okay, get on the phone, even talk. We don't even want to do that. We want to message it to everybody and everything about everything. And then you get upset when somebody says something negative. Well, you put it out there. So what do you expect? Or do you just have a woe is me pity party, which I've had several of those, plenty of those. Believe me, I've had them. Or do you have a wine and cheese party? People of Judah. Wine. So Jehoshaphat calls the people of Judah to come together. From every town they came, they fasted and prayed. And Jehoshaphat, standing before the people of Judah, he prays. He acknowledges who God is. First, you got to just not know about him, but you got to know him for yourself. Not on what your mama told you or your grandmama told you or your great-grandmama told you, but you've got to know him for yourself. So King Jehoshaphat, he calls on God and he acknowledges, God, I know you. You are the God, the ruler of the maker in heaven. I know that you are a mighty, powerful God. You are God alone and there's none that can stand against you because you are a mighty God. And he acknowledges also that what God has done for his ancestors, history, the history. He reminded God, yes, and I know you brought my people out and you put them in this promised land and you allowed them to build a temple where we can come and praise you. And they told us that if we're in trouble or if we're in distress, if we're depressed or whatever we're battling, that we can come to you, oh God, and cry out to you that you will answer us and rescue us. He humbled himself before the Lord, acknowledging who God was. That he was a mighty God and there was none like him and that he needed help because he couldn't do this by himself. So what are you facing? Whatever type of battle it is, despair, cry out to God and he will rescue you. Then he acknowledges this in his humility. We are powerless. We are powerless. You can't win this battle by yourself. Oh, how many times have we gone out there and got all beat up and came running home with our tail between our legs because we tried to do it ourselves? God said, this battle's not yours, it's mine. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So why are we battling? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Carnal. Pastor asked a question, what is carnal? We hear that word, but do we know what that means? Carnal means I've taken it into my own hands. I'm going to use my mouth to curse you. Or I'm going to fight you with my hands. I'm going to fight you the way the world fights you. That's carnal. But God says, uh-uh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. You need God. You need God. You need God. I can't tell you how many times, and I finally got to the place, thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus, where I surrender. I throw up my hands and I acknowledge that I can't do it. I'm weak. I knew I couldn't even stand up here today before the Lord give me strength and give me what to say to stand up here today. I know that I need God in every area of my life. And when I've got to the point that lay, hey, God is in control. Huh? God is in control. And when you get that deep down in your spirit, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. Just give God some praise anyhow, because you know, in the end, you are going to win. It doesn't matter what it looks like or what it feels like. God is in control. He orchestrates every part of your life. In the beginning, before he even said, let there be, he knew your journey. He knew your journey. He knew your journey before he even said, let there be. Woo! And I believe you got to go through some battles to recognize that. You got to go through some battles and get sick and tired and sick and tired of getting your head bumped up against the wall. Crying and having wine and cheese parties all the time. Do you know what I'm saying? We're in spiritual warfare. But God, he is Jehovah Gabor, commander and chief. And let's talk about how much he loves us. And I don't think we can fully grasp how much God loves us. For if we could just grasp a little bit of how much he loves us, we would be all right. We wouldn't be out there looking for, seeking for something that's not going to fill us up anyway or satisfy us. God said he is the great I am. What is it that you stand in need of? You need deliverance. You need a healing. God is the deliverer. He is the healer. He is El Shaddai. There's none like him. And so, this battle's not yours. Stop trying to battle it. Set yourself free today. My brother told me today, set myself. He said, Eva, set yourself free. I said, I'm already free, brother. I'm already free. Oh, I had to go through some changes. But I'm already free. And guess what? And I'm still clay. Listen, we all still clay on the potter's wheel. And sometimes he got to break us and then shape us again. For he said he know the plans, Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the plans I have for you. And they're for good and not for evil, to give you hope and an expected future. God has a plan for each and every one of us. So while we're on that wheel and it's not feeling so good, it's all good. For all things do work together for good. Yes, they do. You're going through right now and maybe you're not feeling it, but if you look, they sang, look to the hills from which cometh your help. For all of your help comes from the Lord. Nobody or nothing else will do. So while they were praying, the Spirit of the Lord came upon the prophet of God, and the prophet of God spoke a word of God that said, this battle is not yours, it's his, but take your position. Does that mean I just sit and wait for some hocus pocus or magic to happen? Take your position. While you're waiting to see the victory or the manifestation of the victory, or even just trusting God for the victory, whether you see it or not, whether it comes to or not. We have to know that we just can't sit still. We just can't sit down on it. God gave them positions. God gave them orders. Take your position. When you're getting ready to go to battle, seek God. He told them, tomorrow, go out and go down to where he told them to go and just stand still. But they had to do something first. They just didn't stay there. They went into the battle. They geared up. They put their whole armor on. And they marched. But this is what I love, and my sister Ella brought this to my attention. Where you at, Ella? The praise was already being taken up in advance because it says the priests, before they went out to battle, the priests were praising and shouting and glorifying God before they even went out the next day. So they go out, they suit up, they march to the place where God tells them, but before they get there or before they go off, King Jehoshaphat says, he says, praise team, go out first, take the front line.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
They're saying amen, amen, but I don't know about them, but I know me. I would say, huh? Huh? You got your army back here. You want us to go out first, take the front line? I don't think so. They were obedient. They were obedient. And guess what happened? While they were singing praises to their God, when they got to the place they were supposed to be, all they saw were dead bodies all over the place. Oh yeah, praise confuses the enemy. So they were praising, and God caused their enemies to fight each other. And the one that was left, they started fighting each other. So they all died without them even having to lift up a finger. They just lifted up praises unto our Lord. Just lift up praises unto God and watch the victory be won, seriously. And not only that, did they get the victory, but they had 3 days worth of valuables and goods that they got from their enemy that they brought back. So they're marching in the town and they are happy and they are praising. See, they praise in advance. They praise while going through the war, and they praise coming out. Amen. Oh, bless his name, bless his name, bless his name. And so the other nations heard of this, and they feared. They feared God, and they feared King Jehoshaphat in Judah. And it says after that, they had peace. They had peace on every side. So listen, God will give you peace through praising in the battle. His promises are yea and amen. He said he's got your back, he's got it. And he's got your front, he's got you on every side. So, God says, I will give you peace, not as the world gives it to you. Because there's no peace in this world. Are you looking for peace in this world? Sorry to say, you're not going to find it. But it's only that peace that God gives you. And he will give it to you. And you will have that blessed assurance in him through his peace, knowing that God is a great God and he's a mighty God. And he will give you that peace, it says, that surpasses all understanding. You won't even be, sometimes, I don't know, have you ever just pinched yourself because things are going on so crazy around you, but here you are. He'll give you that peace that you can't understand it, and everybody else won't be able to understand it, but you'll know it's God, and the people will see God in you. Praise his name. Yes, praise his name. And so, God has already won the victory. So whatever you're battling, remember it's not yours. It's the Lord's. And to just secure this and give you the bottom line on this and how I know what I know what I know, because it was over 2,000 years ago on a hill far away called Golgotha, on an old rugged cross, Jesus was crucified. He did it. He could have came down. But he decided to stay, to save us. Oh, yes, they mocked him. And they said, if you be the Son of God, save yourself. He could have done that. But because he loved us so much, he hung. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He did it for us. He hung his head and he died. And they buried him in a borrowed tomb. But that's not how. How the story ends. 3 days later, he rose again with all power in his hands. And so we too have that same power, and we have the victory over the enemy. So there's a song that says, for every mountain you brought me over, for every trial you've carried me through, for every blessing, for this, hallelujah, hallelujah, for this I give you praise. Oh, praise God up in the house for that. Thank you, God. We thank you, oh God, for your power and for your presence. We thank you, oh God, for the victory already won. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, these were all people of God that could call on him and he will rescue you. If you're not a child of God, you're out there getting beat up unmercifully and unnecessarily. Let your pride go. You're probably like me. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired and didn't know what to do or which way to go. Give your life to Jesus today.